2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome in. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans and Scotty. Hey, we're on the downward turn, folks. Hans will be back on Monday. And, look, the week's pretty much already half over. So we're there. We're almost there. Just hang in there with us. I'm here in our home away from home, my hearing center. We'll talk more about that. All kinds of great opportunities here. But joining us back in studio for the first segment to hang out for a little bit, Jake Scott with us. Jake, how you doing?
Scotty G, my brother from another mother. What is happening, buddy?
Ah, man, life is good. We have not done radio together for a bit.
I know, man. Hey, it's always a pleasure when I get a chance to do so. However, the radio legend that is Scott Girard. And by the way, doing late night basketball in Logan and then fresh as a daisy. High noon, ready to roll.
On with DJ. I got T-boned by DJ and PK this morning, by the way. Like, absolutely rear-ended, not expecting it, came out of nowhere. Jake called me yesterday and said, and by the way, I'm not okay with it. I'm not upset, but I just didn't see it coming. It's a little bit of a drive-by. And so Jake called me yesterday afternoon and goes, hey, DJ and PK want you to come on tomorrow morning. Can you do 8 a.m.? I'm like, yeah, sure, get the kids up or they're going to school. It shouldn't be a problem. So I thought we were going to talk about the game last night. Really fun game up in Logan. I didn't quite know what what was on the old itinerary, but I hop on and they're all grumpy with me making fun of San Diego and going to the Pac-12. And I said that, well, yeah, the only thing San Diego State's got going for them is the fact that they're in Southern California. That's it. And they took exception to that. And so those guys are,
I've been rear-ended six times.
Last time I hurt.
Well, what's their problem?
You got to play the whole cut, man.
Rear-ended.
I've been rear-ended six times.
Really?
Yeah. One time it was painful.
Wait, what was their problem? You're right. Where were they telling you were wrong?
I know. That's what.
What's the deal?
Well, because I was making Dennis Dodd put out this promotional story, and Dennis is on the radio station a lot, and I get it. They may have, give him a couple nights at Hotel Del Coronado or something. I don't know what happened, but he's like, "Oh, San Diego State's ready for this. They're a surging program." Blah blah blah. And I'm like, no, they're not. They're not surging. They're fine. They've got a really good basketball team, but this isn't a move made for basketball. It's a move made for football. And they built a nice new stadium that nobody goes to. I mean, attendance was abysmal. And so I just said, you know, and I went on this rant a couple days ago about how, like, look, let's not prop up San Diego State and be in this great up-and-coming program. This isn't Utah going to the Pac-12 when the Utes had, you know, been to the BCS and won BCS games in 04 and 08 and had that program rolling in the right direction. The only thing that San Diego State's got going for them right now is that they're in Southern California. That's it. That's it. That's all there is right now. Which, hey, good for them. The right place, right time. But let's not prop up the greatness of San Diego State, for crying out loud.
Yeah, here. They stink and nobody cares. Why nobody's been able to convince me, why would the Pac-12 do that? Add the Suck Dogs and SMU. What's in it for them? What would that do for them?
Well, okay. And by the way, I'm just playing devil's advocate because I agree with you. I don't think it's necessarily a smart move. But I do think that they want to get back into Southern California. Kyle Whittingham wants to, and Kyle Whittingham has come out in, somewhat supporting of San Diego State because I think he wants to go there every other year. Tell recruits he's going there every other year, recruit that area. And the same with the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so, again, it just comes, same with SMU. SMU's not that great.
No.
I mean, it's fine, but it's smack dab in downtown Dallas, and that's what all they've got going for them.
So it's another mouth to feed, though. So is it worth that, you know? Is
yes.
Playing down there once every other year worth the extra slice of the pie that you got to give up?
Well, apparently, I would say so. I mean, if your market research, because ultimately, this is all about money. Mm-hmm. And so apparently, there must be enough market research out there that they've realized that, yes, they are able to make a little bit more money off of those schools. Because if they weren't, I got to imagine they'd be cut out. They're not doing it just because they want to hold their winter meetings in San Diego, which, I don't know, maybe that is still the case. But you're right. It was just, but it was interesting. I did not anticipate it. I did not anticipate getting getting a vitriol, a conversation so chock full of vitriol this morning.
Well, it's PK, man. I mean, every time you and I both fill in occasionally on that show, and you've got to be playing a defense from the start. That dude will he'll come right at you. He'll figure it out. But I happen to think you're right.
Hey, by the way, you doing all right? Everything good in your world? Family's good. We haven't chatted in a minute.
Oh, buddy, man, everything is great. Family is great. I don't sleep anymore, but that's okay. You know, just living the dream. Your family's the one that's got the exciting stuff happening, like a wedding coming up, right?
I know. I'm having a hard time with that.
It's making you feel old. You were telling me.
I'm not. And it's strictly from a selfish standpoint. It has nothing to do with my oldest, has nothing to do with their fiance. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's just the fact they're all great. They're awesome. She's awesome. Like, everything is great. It just makes me feel super old. Like, I didn't have a problem when I turned 40. I didn't have a problem, you know, at any of these milestone birthdays or anything like that. But for some reason, when you have a kid that gets engaged, I feel really old and like my life is over at this point and there's really nothing else for me to accomplish. So why not just shut it down and, you know, go off into a cave somewhere and just disappear? It just, I don't know. I'm at a really weird place in my life.
Well, let's not get dramatic, Scotty, but it's making me feel old too, because when I first met you, you had one child and it was that child.
He was one.
Yeah. He was a baby. So it's awesome. I'm
I remember
so happy
a conversation
him,
where like, I was talking about how like you, I was doing the show with E-Ray and you were producing and I was like, I can't get out of the house anymore. And you know, we got this 1 year old and you're like, I'll come over to your house and babysit. And you were still, I don't know if you were living in the frat house or not. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to work or not. Now it would be fine. But I, you know, 23 year old Jake Scott, I don't know, was high on the list at that point.
No, I don't blame you either. I would have had second thoughts had it been me as well, looking at me about babysitting a child. But I was willing. I remember that too. I was ready to go. I was willing to help my guy. I don't blame
you.
You
would have been fantastic.
I don't know about that.
All right, let's get to it. Starting lineup right now, Jake Scott hanging out with us for the first segment. You're going to hear from Tim Lacombe at 105. Mickey Mendel up at Weber State will join us at 130 as he wraps up his first recruiting class as a head coach of the Wildcats. And Nick Ferguson, former Broncos safety, does the media thing out there in Denver. He will join us to talk a little Sean Payton. I don't know, Jake, I was going to talk Jazz here, but if you want to talk Broncos, we can do that too.
Oh, can we talk about the donks and why on earth Sean Payton would take that job? That job is poison. They must be paying him $50 million a year. It's just the only way.
Okay. You know what? I will argue with it. I think it's a fantastic job. You know why? Is because you either fix Russell Wilson and you become the quarterback whisperer and you're like, hey, I'm the guy that fixed Russell Wilson, or Russell Wilson is still trash and you're like, well, there's nothing I can do. That's your fault. You were the one that brought in Russell Wilson, so there's a reason we stink. And it gives you a little bit of extends the honeymoon period a little bit, because you're like, hey, man, you were the one that signed him. You gave him $250 million. I'm just trying to make it work. There's a reason we stink. It's not my fault. It's the quarterback that you signed. So it's going to take some time to get this thing turned around. Oh, so man,
that's a great point. It's a great point. I can't even argue with that, honestly. If you get fired, you get all that guaranteed money, you go right to the bank.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, this has been pretty much the start of the show for like the last, since it happened.
Brilliant.
It's what we do every day now.
Which was yesterday, Lloyd. Come on. It's not that bad. All right. Starting lineup, Jazz get the win last night right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, Hans on vacation. He'll be back with us coming up next week. Your starting lineup, of course, brought to you as always by Lee's Heating and Air, home of the award-winning line of America's Standard Furnaces and Air Conditioners. Call Lee's right now for their $59 furnace tune-up, and visit them online at leesheatac.com. All right, Jake, you were anchoring the pre-half and post last night for the Utah Jazz as they get the victory over the Toronto Raptors. Fun game last night, 131-128. Got a little hairy down the stretch, but ultimately the Jazz get the W after an impressive first quarter. And how about Walker Kessler with 6 block shots in the first quarter, a near triple-double with block shots. This kid continues to play out of his mind.
He's amazing. I'm shocked that a rookie big can be having this impact. It just does not happen all that often. Bigs take a while to develop, and you know, I can see why everybody is encouraged that he's so good. Scott, even 17, 14, and 7 block shots in 30 minutes is absurd. But that game, you know what, Scott? Lauri Markkanen, his efficiency is amazing, 28 and 13. And those two performances, and Mike Conley played well, Jordan Clarkson was good in the fourth. I mean, that's why they won, because Toronto, Scotty, had no business losing that game. It is ridiculous. The Jazz did not lose by 15 points. Toronto had 110 attempts. The Jazz had 83. As Ben pointed out earlier today, that's a whole quarter's worth of attempts right there. The Toronto played for basically an extra quarter. They had 25 offensive rebounds. They forced 16 turnovers from the Jazz and still found a way to lose. That is incredible. Toronto should be way better. But at the same time, it's a big compliment to how the Jazz played, because, you know, you shoot 53% from the field and you have your star player score 28 points on 13 attempts. You know, that's how you overcome that. It's pretty amazing.
Well, and, you know, the offensive rebounds, as you mentioned, the 25 is just a ridiculous number. And it's a concern, and it's something that we haven't really dealt with much during the Rudy Gobert era. But now that there are issues stemming from the rebounding, you know, look, Kessler's great. But this Jazz team overall has had some issues on the rebounding side, and to give up 25 offensive boards last night to not a particularly great team is a little disconcerting. But again, I think it just goes to show who this team is right now. This isn't a great Jazz team either. I mean, this is a 500 basketball team, and that's kind of what we got.
Yeah. No, you make a great point. And Will Hardy himself, about the rebounding, has said on numerous occasions that they don't have a big, you know, 14 rebound a night guy. I know Kessler had 14 last night, but that's not where he is in the league yet. They don't have a Rudy Gobert on the glass, so they have to rebound as a team. And that's true, not only when you look at the final box score, Scotty, but last night this was particularly evident. That's true every possession. You know, every possession they have to figure out how to clean the glass when they're at a disadvantage. We've actually seen it cost them games this year. And last night was hard to watch as they get 3 or 4 attempts at the rim per possession. It's just ridiculous. But, you know, you find a way to overcome it, I guess. But
yeah,
the Walker Kessler himself will get better at that over time. Lowry's a decent rebounder. But you know what? The clinic isn't. And Vanderbilt is a streaky rebounder. And then everybody else, I mean, they're just not a strong rebounding team, and it didn't cost them last night, which is just amazing to me because it really should have.
Yeah, no, you go back, hindsight being 20/20. If you look at this stat line without seeing the scoring, you're thinking, yeah, no, that's a Jazz loss last night. And again, credit to them for finding a way to power through it and get it done. But still, at the end of the day, that is just some remarkable numbers that the Jazz were still able to overcome. Lauri Markkanen, as you mentioned, 28 points last night, 13 rebounds, an assist and a steal. And I anticipate probably coming up later today, we'll be talking about Lauri Markkanen as an all-star.
Yes, deservedly so. He has the resume. You know, there are other players in the West, like somebody like Aaron Gordon, that I suppose have an argument to make the team, but not a better argument than Lowry. And the game is here in Salt Lake, which also helps him too. But let me ask you this, Scotty, and I'm sure you and Hans have talked about this, but who, if you're Danny, who's on the untouchable list this trade deadline? I'm not talking about going forward. I'm talking about coming up a week from today. Who's on the list of guys you just hang up on the team on the other end if they want them?
It starts with Markkanen and it ends with Kessler, and there's nobody in between.
Not Obagi. That's the one I'm kind of on the fence about.
Yeah, I mean, and I like him too, and I think he'll be a fine player, but I don't think he's a guy that you're looking at as a franchise piece. The great thing about him is he's cheap and will continue to be cheap for the next few years. So maybe that plays in his favor as well. I'm a fan. He joined us earlier in the week. We're going to replay that conversation coming up in our next segment. I think he's a tremendous player. But if you needed somebody to fill the gaps in a trade that brings you more assets back, then Ochai is certainly on the blocks for me.
You know what? I can buy into that. I like him, though. I mean, he's a real modern NBA, you know, 3-and-D type dude. And plus, have you noticed with him, and this doesn't matter, I suppose, but he's got a smile on his face the whole time he plays. I mean, like the whole time he's out there, he's just living the dream. It's hard to not root for a guy like that.
Well, and I don't know if you had a chance to listen to that interview. I mean, really crazy well-spoken, yep. Great attitude, great personality. Talked about, you know, because he didn't play a lot early on and he was fine with it. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to learn. And now as the moments have increased and the minutes have increased, the opportunities have gotten there, and he's taken advantage of it too. And crazy athleticism. And there's always that knock on guys that come into the league at 22 years old. They're like, well, why weren't you in the NBA sooner? You must not be that good. And he's certainly filled a nice role for the Jazz. But, you know, look, Clarkson, if the right deal comes across, see ya. Mike Conley, same thing. Certainly Vanderbilt and Beasley are certainly on the blocks as well. And I anticipate, and I'll ask you this, that, you know, by the time the trade deadline hits, I think you will see, I don't know, a vastly different team, but you will not see the same Jazz team that you're looking at right now. Something's going to give here in the next week or so.
Totally agree. They're going to make a move, possibly many moves. You know, one thing, though, is that the market for sellers is not getting better. It's getting worse. I mean, that Toronto yes. team that we watched last night, Scotty, everybody not named Scotty Barnes is available for trade, including Fred VanVleet. Charlotte, who we saw, what was that, 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago? Everybody on that team, probably outside of LaMelo Ball, available, including a guy like Terry Rozier. You know, if you're the Clippers and you need a ball handler, you need a playmaker, are you picking Fred VanVleet, Terry Rozier, Mike Conley?
Yeah, I know. I mean, and that's the thing, too. Like, when you look at it, it's like, you know, a neighborhood where you're ready to move. You know, everybody's trying to move their house at the same time and trying to get out of a neighborhood. And it's like we're killing our value here because nobody seems to be. I mean, there's a dearth of players and a dearth of houses available right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting time in the NBA because there's a lot of you know, teams on the same plane. You know, there's a lot of average teams in the league right now. And so what direction do you want to go? Like, I absolutely think the Raptors have a better roster than they're showing and that they showed last night. I love VanVleet. I love Siakam.
Would you be selling that team?
See, that's the thing, though. If you keep it together, are you going to be better than Boston in the next couple of years? Probably not, right?
Yeah.
So do you take advantage of having the crappy record right now and just shoot for the bottom and keep Scotty Barnes and rebuild and hopefully you land a unicorn pick this year? I mean, it would be tempting, right?
Yeah. It is. It's the one thing that kind of bugs me about the NBA, but I get it, is there's that, oh, shoot, we're not there, and let's blow it all up. Like, everybody's got an itchy trigger finger on the blow-up button. And for Toronto, I keep looking, I'm like, I'm with you. Like, this team should be much better than what that record is. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know what it is, but that team should be better. And I have a hard time trying to just say, all right, blow it up, when it's like, oh, man. I mean, I understand. Like, you go back to, I was thinking about this last night because Jamal Mashburn's kid plays for New Mexico. And I was thinking about Jamal Mashburn when he was with the Dallas Mavericks. Remember when they had him and Jimmy Jackson and Jason Kidd?
Yeah, and they all fought over Tony Braxton.
Tony Braxton. Yeah. I did work in a Unbreak My Heart reference.
Really? You're amazing. Yeah. That's incredible.
And so, so it got to that point where, you know, Tony Braxton comes in and wrecks that locker room, and it's like, okay, we can't fix this anymore. This team has got splintered and there's issues here. And I'm wondering if something like that, I don't know who the modern day Tony Braxton would be, but, I don't know if there's something going on in that locker room that's not working, because it should be working. They should be much better than that.
Yeah, I think so too. And maybe it's they know the writing's on the wall. One of those types of things, or, you know, maybe working a young player like Scotty Barnes in has not necessarily been all that natural. Or, you know, Scotty, we see this in baseball is probably the best example of it, right? You know, these teams that are out of it by the trade deadline just get rid of all of their good players, because why am I paying you all this money to go nowhere? And you flip it for prospects or whatever the case may be, and then just try it again the next year. We don't see that in basketball as much. Kind of hold on to those pieces, and maybe it's because of, you know, there's more value. It's harder to replace. I don't know. But if you're the Raptors, you know, what is your timeline? Is it keep it together and try and roll it back and be as good as you should be next year, or do you take advantage of it and flip your good pieces while you got it in hopes that, you know, you're always moving forward? It's a complicated question in basketball. Obviously, the Jazz made one of the most aggressive moves in league history, trading two All-Stars with 3 years left on their deal. You know, will that prove to be a smart decision? It looks pretty good right now, but that was bold. You know, you don't see that in this league very often.
Hey, before I let you go, I don't know what our Pac-12 Media Day plans are going to look like right now, and I don't anticipate this guy is going to be here, but you saw that Jaden Rashada is now going to Arizona State, right? PK's on cloud nine over that.
I did.
And so now you've got Bo Nix, you got Cam Rising coming back, you got the Penix kid at Washington, Caleb Williams, the Clemson transfer to Oregon State, and now Jaden Rashada, who I'm sure will be your week one starter for Arizona State. This conference continues to load up, man. It's going to be a fun season next year.
You know what it reminds me of is the first year, and I know you were down there too, Scotty, when we went to the first Pac-12 Media Day. And who were the quarterbacks? It was Andrew Luck.
Nick Foles.
Osweiler, right?
Osweiler was there. And who was it? Barkley from USC?
Barkley from USC. And was Hundley there from UCLA? I might have been a little bit before him.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's close.
But anyway, and Utah had Jordan Wynn at the time, and looking up at Brock Osweiler, it's like, oh, this is a different level here. This is a different league.
Yeah. I mean, it's just jam-packed. And I guess if you're Jacob Conover, you're a little bummed out because, you know, you transfer to Arizona State, and then they just signed a five-star guy, and you're kind of out of luck at this point. But
such is
anyway,
life.
Good stuff, man. College football can't get here soon enough. I miss it already.
I know, and it just ended. It's crazy. But hey, shout out to your Aggies, Scotty. They're playing some hoop this year. And the Mountain West is a fun league. If people didn't watch Utah State dismantle New Mexico last night, what was the final? It didn't do it justice. The Aggies played great.
It was 84-73. They led by 20. New Mexico went on a little run late to tighten it up a little bit, but yeah, really fun game, fun atmosphere. You know how crazy you can get up there.
And
it was rocking.
That's awesome.
And it was great. And the top five teams in the Mountain West Conference are really, really good. Like, I don't think it'll be a five-bid league, but I don't think four is out of the question, which is certainly a massive number of teams going to the tournament from the Mountain West Conference. But it was fun, a lot of fun. We got to get you up there again.
Oh, man, let's do it. I love the Spectrum. Sign me up.
All right. Thanks, Jake. Hey, man, appreciate it. Thanks for all your help.
My pleasure.
That is Jake Scott right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We are live here at My Hearing Center. Matt's hanging out with us. You got the new Stiletto AX. Is that what you're rocking over there?
Yeah, this is exactly what we're rocking over here, Scotty.
Let's look at that bad boy. Holy smokes.
Yeah, and I actually cleaned it just for you, so that wouldn't be any foreign residue on there.
Yeah. No.
No wax.
No wax backup on this thing.
That's right.
You know, we've been coming here for a long time, Matt, and I think it's really important because I'll admit, like, I've had headphones on, you know, most of my professional life. Sure. And my hearing, I went through the hearing evaluation, mm-hmm. went through all of it. You guys diagnosed that there's a certain frequency that I really struggle with. And I'll be sitting on, you know, at a restaurant or, you know, at a game or something like that. And I felt like a wall of sound coming at me that I could hear everything, but I couldn't distinguish a conversation with somebody sitting next to me. And so I'll sit there and nod my head like, yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. I had no idea what people are saying. And you were able to funnel that out for me, and I love mine. And I'm more than happy to admit, I'm in my mid-40s, but I wear mine, and especially if I'm going in those situations, and they've really changed my life.
I love to hear that. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Scotty. And, you know, you're not alone, to keep with our 80s themes of music. You're not alone. There's a lot of people out there that have these similar situations. We see them on a regular basis. You know, that's a common a concern that people have when they come in is that, listen, I hear just fine. I hear everything. I just can't understand these specific situations, like a person sitting next to me at a basketball game, for example. And so when we test the people that have that issue, they have very similar hearing losses. They're missing their high-frequency sounds, but they hear really well in their low-frequency sounds. Yep. And that's where the Stiletto AX is king. It is able to take the high-frequency sounds, lift those up, give you the natural low-frequency sounds that you're used to, and it just gives you that clarity that you're missing. We want people to try it for themselves. We're inviting 100 people in to come and try the new Stiletto AX, risk-free for 30 days. All you need to do to sign up is just call, schedule an appointment in any of our offices for a free hearing evaluation, and if during the evaluation you are found that you have a hearing loss, we'll let you take that home risk-free for 30 days.
801-438-7058. You call that number, and again, you get a test drive them for 30 days, and the evaluation is what's really impressed me, because you sit and you're going to go through all kinds of, it's not a lengthy test, but it's a very in-depth test to really figure out what's working, what's not working, and then you can customize these to kind of make sure you hone in on that.
Yeah, we take the information from all the tests that we do, and we put it in the hearing aid software. We make a couple modifications based on personal preference, and you're ready to go. So we can, in a lot of cases, fit these the same day you come in.
801-438-7058. That's 801-438-7058. And everybody who test drives these for 30 days, you're going to get a gift card to the Home Depot.
That's right.
Let's do it. 801-438-7058. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Kalani Sitake, BYU head coach, joins us now.
It seems like from the time the season ends till signing day and then spring ball is like 2 weeks. Now it's not, but my point is everything goes by really fast. How much are you pressed for time to get everything prepared for when you need it, given whatever it is that you're preparing for?
Yeah, I think that's just the different phases of the job. Looking at the calendar, spring ball for us starts March 6th, and you're like, hey, that's a month away. PK, you're right, it's going to fly by. And when you're trying to plan for the entire spring, the off-season conditioning, everything leading up until August fall camp, it seems to go really quick. This thing will run by real quick, and before you know it, we'll be talking about the home opener and talking about the Big 12 Conference.
Catch DJ and PK, mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah!
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, 1236. Hope you're all having a tremendous Thursday. All right, so let the cat out of the bag. I think I'm going to make it a little bit easier on all of you tomorrow because I will be traveling. Utah State's playing Colorado State, so I will be traveling that day tomorrow. Hans is on vacation, so Jake and Ben are kind enough to go from 12 to 1, and then Jeremiah Jensen and Jake Hatch will go from 1 to 3. So I know you guys have all dealt with me this week, and that's been a hassle, but just know you can come back and get more quality radio, much higher quality of sports radio coming up on tomorrow's show. So I think, you know, you'll get through it, and then on Monday, Hans is back, and we're all good. Lloyd, well, the gang will be back together again.
Yes, it will. I miss the letters from Hans that we used to do.
I forgot. Postcards from Hans.
He hasn't sent any, has he? Has he sent any?
No. Okay. I think he got a little grumpy with us on the last
fair enough.
Last vacation. So those were probably not for public consumption.
Probably should have.
Have you heard from our guy? At all?
No, which means, yeah, he's having a good time. I haven't heard anything at all.
Usually I get some text messages midway through on how things are going. Usually some pictures that I don't want to see. Some other things of him scantily clad. I don't like it, but he knows I don't like it. So that means he brings out the Speedo underwear and likes to show it off and send me pictures of him on the beach. But I haven't gotten anything.
He doesn't even go horseback riding on those trips anymore. That used to be a thing. He doesn't do it anymore.
I don't know why that would have ever.
I don't know why he wouldn't go horseback riding, but he doesn't do it anymore.
Well, and if he is, he's certainly not taking pictures of it.
No.
Hey, I had a chance to chat with Ochai Agbaji earlier in the week. Really, really fun conversation with him. And I started out by talking about getting traded. And I'm always interested on the personal aspect of that. We just see the trades come and go. We don't really understand how that turns guys' life upside down. But I asked him if he got caught off guard when he found out he was coming to Utah.
Really, really did catch me off guard. I was actually I was about to move into my place in Cleveland, and then I got the news that I was traded here. So it switched up pretty fast, but it was out of nowhere. Yeah.
So you got an apartment and everything, and then you had to uproot and go somewhere else, huh?
Yeah. It was it's a whole different experience, but it was still good though.
So you come here to Utah, new coaching staff, transition with no Donovan and no Rudy Gobert. What's it like going as a rookie into a team where there is a lot of change and a lot of things are kind of in flux?
You know, going in, it's still like any other rookie. There's still a lot of things you got to learn, but also coming in with a new staff and new coaches and all that and a lot of new guys, too. I think we all collectively helped each other. The veteran guys were really helpful for the rookie guys and some of the younger guys that had come in. So it's been nice to have those resources and those guys to help us.
I mean, you play high-level college basketball at Kansas, so you're playing the best of the best, especially there in the Big 12. But is the increase in speed and ability and all that, is it really tough to kind of figure things out when you make that jump to the NBA?
Yeah, always. I think for everyone, no matter what level you're at, there's always that learning curve right at first, you know, getting to the league, just getting adjusted to the physicality and everything else offensively, defensively. But still, at the end of the day, it's basketball, and that's kind of how I think of it.
How do you feel like you've handled that transition?
Pretty good. I think at first it was a struggle coming in, and like I said, everything being new, kind of started off slow, but now that I've gotten my footing and got a lot of guys and guys are confident and coaches are confident in me now, it's been nice.
And you see the minutes increase throughout the season, and it feels like Will Hardy has given you more opportunities. Do you feel like you've embraced those opportunities well when that time that's been given to you?
Yeah. I think, you know, any opportunity, whether it's, you know, minutes at the end of the game or real minutes throughout the whole entire game, I think just I've been trying to take advantage of those and bring energy in any way I can.
What's this locker room like? Seems like you guys have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, no, we have a lot of fun. I think every single day just coming in here to practice, all the guys are good attitude or having good attitudes and high spirits, so it's always fun being around these group of guys and competing against them every single day. I think that's another thing we do really well is just compete and get after each other every single day.
What did you feel about your game in college that you felt like could translate to the next level, and has it translated the way that you thought it would?
I think just being a shooting threat, number one, and I think just also the defensive versatility I bring, guarding positions 1 through 5, maybe 1 through 4 usually, but just the activity that I bring, I think that's kind of what I've always had in my game, whether I'm scoring or not, but just having that same level of activity.
Is that something that you take pride in too? Because you know, as a rookie, you're probably not going to get a ton of offensive opportunities. So you say, all right, when I'm out there, I'll make the most of it on the defensive side.
Yeah. I think that's a way I feel like I can impact the game. My early on in my career, early on now, is just to come in and, you know, bring energy. Like I keep saying, just bring energy in any way possible.
When did you, was basketball always the first love for you, or is it something you picked up a little bit later on?
I mean, growing up, I played basketball and soccer, so I had a love for both. And then I obviously had to drop soccer late in high school and you know, kind of go fully into basketball.
So what's that NCAA tournament run like last year?
It was a lot of fun. I think just being in that moment was a lot of fun, and being present with my teammates and the group of guys that we had. I'll never forget, you know, that whole run that we had, but also just the whole entire season that we had.
Did you get the ring yet, or are you still waiting on that?
No, we got the ring. I got a ring from, I think, NCAA, and then Kansas got our own ring, so I got two rings.
Well, I mean, here's the thing that a lot of people, you know, when you make that jump to the NBA, I remember talking to Darren Williams about this a long time ago. This shows you how old I am, but Darren Williams came in as a rookie, and he played at Illinois, and they played in a national championship game. And they lost that national championship game. But anyway, it's training camp. And I ask him, are you ready for, you know, the pressure and everything that comes along with it? And he's like, okay, yeah, I am. Because, hey, you know what? We've just been playing in football stadiums in an NCAA tournament run with, you know, 70,000 people staring down at us watching these games and millions of people at home. That's pressure, too. This isn't like I'm experiencing pressure for the first time. Do you think an experience on, like, what you just went through helps you make that transition into the NBA?
Yeah, I would agree with that and agree with you. I think it all comes down to pressure, in my eyes, and really when you're out there and you've gone through the high stakes of pressure, even just going through the Big 12 conference.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of pressure on Kansas just to win or always be competing for a winning title in the Big 12 conference every year. So you have that pressure, and then once that's kind of out of the way, and then you go into the tournament. There's a little bit more, but still, you're kind of still playing with a free mind, also with that pressure. So, my past 4 years at Kansas, playing with that pressure, I think is something that I've just, you know, implemented into my game. And, that's something that kind of just motivates me.
You still keep tabs on those guys on how they're doing?
Yeah. I'm watching, you know, KU this year. They're having a really good season. Still talking to some of those guys. And then obviously the guys that graduated and left with me last year. I still keep up with those guys too.
My co-host who's normally here, he played in the NFL, and he said, you know, when I was playing in the NFL, in my rookie year, I'm used to only playing 12, 11 games in college. And once I hit that mark in the NFL, I'm thinking, okay, this season's got to wrap up. Well, we had 5, 6 more games left. You played, you know, you made a deep run in the NCAA tournament, won the whole thing. You're playing about 37, 38 games. You got an 82-game schedule. Has that been hard to try to adjust to the grind of a longer season?
A little bit, yeah. Kind of seeing it that way where it's like we've already played a whole entire full NCAA college season and more. In a way, it's nice because there's a lot of basketball. There's a lot of opportunities to go out and prove yourself night in, night out. So that's the thing I think that's really cool about it. But really, just going into the season, I expected it to be long. I mean, it is long, but I think just focus on what's next, or not really focus on what's next, but remaining present and, you know, kind of just taking it game by game. It helps a lot. That's what I think.
So I'm sure you're uber focused and you're dialed in and you know exactly what you need to be doing and the moment's not too big for you. But has there been a moment this year where you faced off against a player and you're looking like, I cannot believe I'm on the court with this guy right now. I've been watching this guy my whole life and now I'm on the court with him. Has there been that moment at all for you this year?
Yeah, I think in the Portland game against Dame.
Yeah.
I wasn't guarding, but still just being on the court with him. And I think he had like 20 straight in the third quarter, something like that. A couple years ago, when I went for my first pre-draft, I actually went and worked out with Dame and got to meet him. And he's been a really good resource for these past few years for me, as far as just like reaching out for questions or anything like that. So when he started, getting hot and he was hitting all the shots, I was kind of just in awe and obviously it was just a great performance. But I would say that would be my moment.
Who's the guy in the locker room that keeps things loose? Is it Clarkson?
I would say, yeah, JC or Malik. Or Malik. JC, yeah.
What's that been like to transition into an NBA locker room? I know you guys have a lot of fun, but has it been weird at all, or have those guys been pretty welcoming to you and Walker and the rest of the youngsters?
Yeah, no, like I said kind of earlier, That's something that's really cool about our team. We're all, you know, really for each other and playing for each other. So to be in the same and with these guys, them being so nice to me and so welcoming to Walker and I when we first got here, it's been good. And that's only been good for us on the court. That's what I believe. So
what are your before we let you go, what are your goals this season? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to improve on?
I think just keep winning games. Obviously, that's the main goal of it all, is just to be successful and win. But also for me is just to keep growing in my role, continuing to get more comfortable game by game and just finding different ways to impact.
There you go, Oche Agbaje joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Fun conversation. Really good young man. He and Walker Kessler continue to play well. Jazz get the victory last night as they knock off the Toronto last night. You know, and again, you go back and you look at that box score, and I think Jake hit it right on the head. They're really, the Jazz had no business winning that game. With all the turnovers that the Jazz produced, all the extra shot attempts, the Toronto was able to get 110 attempts to 83 for the Jazz. A 17-point shot discrepancy in that game. You don't see that happen very often. All right, 1249, Hans and Scotty. We're live here at My Hearing Center, 801-438-7058. Call that number right now. We'll talk more about that with Matt straight ahead. It's all right here on The Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Joining us now, he's our buddy, Coach Tim Lacombe. What's the likelihood do you think the Jazz do nothing at the deadline?
I don't think that happens, Ben.
Yeah, I think that's pretty slim. I mean, even sometimes there's just financial moves you make, you know, just to give yourself a little flexibility or save Ryan Smith some money. And I'm not sure that's the direction they're going to go, but teams are always looking to save cash if they can here or there.
It's true. I would be very, very surprised. The word that I am using with people, and I think it's what the Jazz are, you know, the eyes they're viewing this with, the lens they're viewing it with, is opportunity. Opportunity to get better this year and make a run. Opportunity to get a whole lot of more pieces. I just don't think they, you know, have put themselves in one place or the other. I think opportunistic. But I would be ultimately crazy surprised if they didn't make a move, period.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Part of the show,
every moment of every show is available in podcast form
by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Thursday, everybody. Wrapping up the first hour of the show, what you may have missed. Hey, again, we mentioned this with Jake a little bit, but this is a big story. Jaden Rashada, the quarterback who signed with Florida and was given essentially a name, image, and likeness deal for $13.5 million. Now, that was going to be paid out over 4 years. And so he signs, and then all of a sudden the collective said, oh, yeah, about that $13.5 million, we don't have it, and we're not going to get it, and we're canceling that deal. So he's upset. Obviously, somebody gives you a 13.5 or offers you 13.5 and then said, yeah, that's not going to happen. Florida lets him out of his letter of intent. And where does he end up? Now Arizona State. So the Sun Devils, and again, I love this story here, by the way. Sources close to the family have said that this was about the coaching staff, not any NIL opportunities. The family is not looking at NIL right now. It's focusing on football. No, that's
right.
Not right.
Sure.
Yeah. Come on now.
When anybody says it's not about the money, right, or at all, it's not about the money.
It's about the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Said, issued a statement on social media. Just want to keep this short and be known that I'm attending Arizona State University, my childhood dream school, my father's alma mater, a place where I'm happy and a school where the head coach has always had my back. Truly great to be home. I love it. Well, first off, I think he was committed to Miami. And then when Florida came in with the $13.5 million, he decommitted from Miami, signs with Florida. That money falls through. Now he's at Arizona State. But this is where he truly wanted to be all along. This was home for him.
Okay. Third choice is where you wanted to be, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's fine. You know, look, hey, you know what? Go follow the money. Go get the money. If somebody's willing to give it to you, make it happen. So Arizona State. So let's go through the Pac-12 quarterbacks. And I would anticipate you sign a guy like this, you anticipate he's going to be playing right out of the gate. So you've got a five-star, heavily recruited quarterback at Arizona State in Jaden Rashada. You got Bo Nix at Oregon. You've got Penix at Washington. Cam Rising at Utah. The kid who I'm still trying to figure out how to pronounce his name, the transfer from Clemson going to Oregon
DJ.
State. Yeah, DJ. Going to Oregon State. Am I missing anybody? Because this conference is just flat out loaded at quarterback.
No, that I think is everybody, and it is.
I forgot the best one, the Heisman Trophy, Caleb Williams.
There
at
you
USC.
Go.
Caleb so Williams. I mean,
and what did,
you,
what did he say about the coaching staff's always been good to him?
Has always had his back.
Has always had his back. But isn't the coaching staff there like new?
Yeah, just brand new.
Brand
Kenny
new,
Dillon
right?
Him.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a good. They're very loyal to you. This whole time.
Always has been with him every step of the way.
Sure they have been. Okay.
I love this. A source close to the family made it clear they did not want to engage in NIL deals with Arizona State's collective.
Then why did you leave? That doesn't make any sense. Then why did you leave? Why was it such a big deal?
Because they want it out there that he's not chasing the money, and some people might believe that, but anybody with half a brain knows that it's about the money, which is great. Hey, look, Arizona State should be good. I think the conference is a more interesting conference when Arizona State's good at football. Same with Arizona. So if it means you have to pony up the money to go get it, then go do it. It's all well within the rules. Just own it. Say, hey, look, you know what? Florida didn't give me my 13.5. The Sun Devils are. I'm heading to Phoenix. That's all you got to say. And I'll respect you for it because, frankly, I might do the same thing if I were you.
Yeah, and I would love to know what the number is because there's no way it's that 13.5.
No,
it had to come way down, especially if he's like on his third option. Like it's down. I'm sure he's getting paid. He's getting paid. I don't know what it is, but it's definitely not around that 13.5 million over four years.
And we do have a certain reckoning going on right now in college athletics where money was being handed out like crazy, but you know a lot of people and this was. I talked to an administrator about this a little bit, and he said that, you know, this isn't – when you sign a contract, let's say, you know, I signed my contract with Bonneville, who owns or is, you know, in an LLC or not a LMA owning the zone, and that's based on revenue, and but they're going to owe me that money, you know, based on the contract if I perform my end of the deal, and, you know, it's a nice agreement there. Here, these kids are signing essentially with a 501c3. It's a charity. And so these charity contracts aren't quite as, aren't quite like an employment agreement. And so charities, you never exactly are sure how much money is coming in. You hope, but there's pledges being made, but not always do people follow through with those pledges to those charities. So if there's a company out there that wants to donate or a person wants to donate to a collective, well, it's a charitable donation because they're 501c3s, so they can pull that money back anytime they want. They're not on the hook for it. It's, you know, you can pay your 10% or you not pay your 10%, but you're not committed to paying that. So again, it's a charity and that money can come and go pretty quickly. And that's where a lot of these collectors are running into problems,
which is going to increase the transfer portal, by the way. I mean, that's just going to, anytime that money gets pulled back, they're hopping in the transfer. They're not sticking around. If you're not paying me, I'm not sticking around. And it's just going to be more and more in the transfer portal. This transfer portal, I know. We had Blake Anderson on, and he had some great comments on talking about the transfer portal and about kids and on this stuff. And it was like, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah,
and it's already getting ugly.
It's just very hard. And I don't think these collectives are being overly nefarious in trying to commit money to these kids, but they just have to understand that when it's a charitable donation, that money can come and go really quickly. So they're having a hard time identifying exactly how much money they have to hand out to these kids via this collective. So, again, we're going to see more of this. There's going to be more of a kid going on social media and saying, hey, X University, they promised me this much money, and now I'm here, now I'm signed, and I'm only getting half of that, and this isn't right. And it's going to happen. I mean, we're going to see it happening a lot, especially if – let's just say, you know, the market crashes. A lot of these individuals that have a ton of money, they're looking for a tax write-off, so they send money over to a collective. Well, all of a sudden, let's say the market crashes and they've got to tighten the belt a little bit and they start cutting back on those charitable donations, then the collectives don't have their money, and then the collectives can't pay out the kids and the commitments they made to those kids. I mean, it's just, there you go. All right, we're live here at My Hearing Center. All we need you to do is call 801-438-7058 if you or a loved one are dealing with hearing issues. And Matt, I've talked to you about this. There's an inconvenience factor of, you know, your wife's talking like, I can't hear what you're saying. What's that? That's inconvenient. And people think that's the majority of the issues you deal with hearing loss. But in reality, that hearing center in your brain is right next to your memories. And if that area starts to shrink, then the memory section starts to shrink, and that leads to Alzheimer's and all kinds of issues.
Yeah, a lot of cognitive decline happens because your brain is a muscle, and if it's not being exercised, it's like any other muscle, it starts to atrophy. When that atrophy in the hearing cortex is going to bleed over to the memory cortex and cause additional issues. We know that from multiple sources, college and studies. Now, there's really neat. Finally, it was assumed that if you get your hearing tested early, that you're not going to have the same hearing problems. Well, that was assumed 15 years ago. Now the results are coming in, and they have proven their hypothesis to be correct. A person that has detects their hearing loss earlier in life and then has it treated early is significantly lowers their chances of developing that dementia or Alzheimer's later in life to the point of they can almost say it almost gets rid of your majority of your risk factors.
Wow.
Just by having your hearing corrected early in life. So, you know, if we're trying to take care of your health, you know, I think these people they want to stay young. They're exercising, they're working out, they're doing their memory, they're active in their communities, wherever else. And then they hit their hearing and they go, God, I don't want to look old.
Yeah.
Right. Well, by putting that hearing loss treatment off, you're actually going to make yourself look older sooner than if you just treat it real quick. So it just kind of plays out. The rest of your body, we're going to keep everything healthy. Let's keep your brain healthy. Let's make sure you hear.
You know, the other thing, too, is those hearing aids, and you showed me a pair of these new Stiletto AXs. They're so incognito, man. You really have to be right next up to somebody to be able to tell, because it's really hard to dissect if somebody's wearing one of these things.
Yeah, you know, discerning. And what's interesting, and you told me this story, Scotty, when you first got your hearing aids, you took them home, you just started talking to your wife. And it took her a few minutes before she's like, hey, wait a second. You're responding. What's going on?
Yeah.
What's new?
Yeah.
And it's fun because since you shared that experience with me, I tell people, I say, hey, go do this. If your wife isn't here with you today, go do this. Take it home, your spouse, your loved ones. Take it home. Try it during the 30 days. Don't tell them you have it.
Yeah.
You know, I had a gentleman that tried it over the Thanksgiving holiday more recently, and he wore him home, didn't tell anybody at Thanksgiving, and everyone's like, hey, what's going on? why is this different? What are you doing? And he got it, kind of just did a fun little reveal, pulled it out of his ears. I got these hearing aids, and they're now all you guys are on my wheel. They're just kind of teasing, right?
Like, I see what you're, I hear what you're saying about me.
So,
but the great thing is, though, if there's somebody out there that wants to try them and really figure out what they're about, how they can improve your life, you're letting people try these for 30 days.
Yeah, we need people that have actually evaluate the product. So it's a newer product. We want to get your feedback. We actually use the information we get from all of these trials, and we're able to put it into our systems and then make sure that the people that get hearing aids in the future have a better first fit and a better experience. So come and try the hearing aids for 30 days. At the end of the 30 days, we'll give you a gift card to the Home Depot. Additionally, if you want to keep the hearing aids, we have special discounts for you as well.
801-438-7058. 801-438-7058. Call now and let you get you squared away. It's all straight ahead right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.